Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Thank you for joining me again. Another week, bad week. Things that are happening that I'm going to share with you tonight should aggravate the hell out of you. Most of the items should aggravate the hell out of you. And if these items don't, then there's something wrong with you. I say this with all due respect. Now, breaking news. I sound like a newscaster on TV, but I have breaking news today. On the 5 o'clock news this evening, the following came out. The House of Representatives have prepared their working schedule for next year. And it came out today. And guess what? They're going to work 111 days. 111 days. This is the lowest number of days they will have worked in any year since 2007. In addition to which, they are taking a seven-week vacation over the summertime and into the fall. A seven-week vacation. Now, the Senate isn't much better either, but they're working a little bit more. I wrote a column 4 weeks ago for the local newspaper, Conk Life, where I said these people don't work long enough. That's why nothing's getting done, especially in the House of Representatives. What they basically do is work 1 week and then have 2 weeks off. Now, who the hell works in this country 1 week and has the next 2 weeks off? And this is what they do all year. And then they say we didn't get anything done or not enough bills were sent to the president. It's crazy. I said, too, they make $174,000 a year. We should pay our elected officials for the time they work. If they want to work 1 week out of three, 1 week on, 2 weeks off, that's a third of the year. We pay them a third of their salary of $174,000, which comes to something like $60,000-some-odd. There would be an immediate savings of $50 million a year right there. Something that bothers me in this also, let's view it from this perspective. There's been a cry for several years, we should have paid family leave. So the wife and or the husband or both, they're home taking care of that baby, getting things grounded. 4 to 6 weeks has been the number suggested. The Republicans refuse to support any such effort, paid family leave, and yet they have the audacity, the brass testicles, okay, to work 1 week and take two off and have a seven-week vacation. For shame. All right, now I was going to start the show tonight with Social Security. This is my column this week in Conk Life, which is published tomorrow night, is the looting of Social Security. I talked about this on my TV show 4 years ago. I wrote this week's column is on this issue, and I've mentioned it several times on this show, and I've mentioned it in my daily blog 7 times. We're getting screwed with regard to Social Security. Understand what I'm going to say, please. It's very important, and it's impolite for me to say understand, so I will say I want to make myself clear. I want to make myself clear that the government is stealing our money. Remember, Social Security is not a tax. The money's withdrawn from your paycheck every week while you're working, and it goes into the Social Security Trust Fund. And no one's supposed to touch it, and that money's for you and for me and everyone else when they reach the eligibility age, whether it be 65 or 67, so they can start drawing on that for a small income in their old age. Nowhere does this check that people get once a month compare with the amount of money they contributed over their lifetime, but because we're paying for everybody to enjoy this, something is better than nothing. Having said that, why, and this bothers me, why do the Republicans yell and scream, and we have a Democratic President Obama who agrees with them, and previous presidents have agreed with them, whether Democrat or Republican, we've got to do something about Social Security. We have to save Social Security. One reason we've got an $18 trillion debt in this country, Social Security, it's an entitlement that is killing us. And now the baby boomers are going to come in, and how are we going to handle this thing? Social Security, they tell us, is not self-sustaining. Well, let me tell you a story. And this, if you're not aware, is an eye-opener. Social Security generally takes in every year more money than it pays out. You heard me. More money than it pays out, it takes in, and it's self-sustaining. However, it was self-sustaining until 1987. And in 1987, there was a ton of money in Social Security, millions of dollars, if not $1 trillion, in the fund, because it always took in more money, and the surplus built up. Well, Ronald Reagan had promised in his first election that he would have a 30% tax cut, and because there was a 30% tax cut, revenues would increase. Well, that 30% tax cut came, the revenues did not increase. Now, Reagan, who was a great president, in my opinion, even though he screwed up here, I said, we got to cover this. I can't go to the people and tell them I was wrong. So he came up with the brilliant idea that why don't we borrow the money from the Social Security Trust Fund? And here's what they did. They have an agreement. They've got and it's by law, too, that the federal government can take the money, the surplus monies out of Social Security, and put them in the general fund and use them to pay any kind of bills the government has to pay. Social Security will get in return a note from the government. Now, it's not a bank note, a note you can take to a bank and cash in. It's not a note that you can use for collateral. It really is an IOU, And it says that based upon the good faith and credit, or $18 trillion in debt, based on the good faith and credit of the United States, we will redeem these at our option, the government's option. We have separate entities, Social Security and the government here. Well, they never did, and they never do. They keep taking the surplus out. They never put it back. Hear what I'm saying? They take money out of Social Security since 1987. They take it all, anything that's left over, and they never pay back. And the ironic thing is we can't sue to get the money back in the trust fund because of the way the paperwork is drawn up. So what happens now? Social Security is the biggest creditor of the United States. Of that $18 trillion debt, the federal government owes you and me, people, the Social Security Trust Fund, $2.7 trillion. Did you know that? $2.7 trillion comes back to Social Security. People think, you know, our biggest creditor is China. We only owe China $1.3 trillion, yet our government owes Social Security, its own people, $2.7 trillion. There are other funds that the government is grabbing money from on a similar basis. To me, this is legalized embezzlement because they never put the money back, and then nobody tells us about it, and they say, oh, my God, we got to get rid of Social Security. We got to adjust this. It's screwing up the economy. A crock. Well, Medicare. They steal from Medicare the same way. And there's a military retirement fund. They steal from the military retirement fund the same way. So now, this money which the government owes, it's called the public, intragovernmental agencies, which it owes to federal agencies where it's grabbed the money. There's 230 agencies, by the way, that the government takes the surplus money from every year. One is Social Security. It's the biggest one. 2.7 is owed to Social Security. The total for the whole, all of the 230 agencies is $5.1 trillion. This is almost 30% of the $18 trillion owed by the United States. Now, all the presidents did it. Bush 1 did it. Bush 1 did it to wage a war. Clinton did it. Bush, too, did it to wage a war and give a tax cut. He gave a big tax cut like Reagan did. And Obama's doing it too. He just keeps borrowing the money. And we've got wars going on all over the place. He's cutting back, but we still have wars, and they are expensive. So all I'm saying is don't believe what you are told. Pay attention. Please get into this. Get involved. And the only reason... Mike Huckabee, first time I ever heard any politician talk about this was in the Republican debate 2 weeks ago. Mike Huckabee asked, "Oh, what about the embezzlement of the Social Security Trust Fund? When are we going to talk about it?" And they cut him off and went to another question. Okay, so it's out there, and we really don't owe the money, but they're going to screw up Social Security because the government does not want to pay it back to the fund. I will tell you also that several economists have said that if the government works out a plan and pays this thing out back, pays the money back over 30 years and stops taking money from the surplus fund, Social Security will have all that money back. In other words, the system is solvent. The government takes the money but and has been taking it now for almost 30 years and never pays it back, and that's why it's owed, we are owed $2.7 trillion. Which brings me to, this just came up today. I just came across this today. And this happened this week, which means it happened yesterday, 2 days ago, or came up Sunday. And here's how this works. I mean, just listen to what I'm going to tell you. It proves my point about the Social Security, Medicare, the military, retirement fund. The government, our government, is raiding what is called the Citizen Victim Relief Fund. Citizen Victim Relief Fund. You may have heard about it, you may not have heard about it. But they're taking money out of that fund, which was set up to go to victims of crime to help rehabilitate them. And it comes from fines, which the government collects from various sources. Object here. You notice that since 2008, we have been told the banks are too big to prosecute. And none of the banks at the high end, the high officials, have been indicted or charged, nor have the banks. But our Justice Department came up with this scheme, this program, and they said, look, you bank officers, you enter into an agreement with us whereby you agree that you've committed these problems, but to prohibit criminal prosecution, indictment, you are willing to pay an exorbitant fine, and the matter is resolved. It's like a civil resolution. No one's ever arrested, no one's ever charged. Well, you notice the fines have been huge, some in the billions of dollars that the banks have been paying. Now, the money is supposed to go in the fund for crime victims. A lot of money's been coming in. Do you know how much is in that account right now? $12 billion. Well, we've got this. That's a lot of money. And we've had this fund, by the way, since 1984. It covers things like domestic violence victims, counseling for abused children, financial aid for murder victims' families, and so forth. The new budget came up this past week. They were working on it. The President and Congress, Congress is the House of Representatives, to come up with an agreement on the budget. You know what they did? They borrowed $1.5 billion from the $12 billion that's sitting in the Crime Victims Fund. Same way they take the money from Social Security, an IOU, it will never get paid back, and they put it in the general fund to use as they see fit to balance this budget, this two-year budget. Now, this fund, they have raided before. Every year from 2000 to 2008, they did the same thing. Then they stopped. I don't know why. Now it's about $12 billion. We can't leave that money sitting there. Let's put it to good use. We got to balance the budget. We take it out and use it for anything you like. This is a great example, by the way, of closed-door, back-door negotiations that go on between our congressional representatives and the president, like President Obama. It's just like Social Security. It's a screw job, and it's wrong. It's wrong. Now, I want to give you an example now of how our government, I'm going to use a bad word, pisses away money. And you're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you. And this is something that's only come up in the last week or two. We have a Department of Defense. And do you know what? They spent $43 million building a gas station in Afghanistan. I'm not talking about something super duper deluxe. I'm talking about a regular gas station. You drive your car up and you fill up your tank. $43 million. Do you believe that? It's true. Now, the Department of Defense, though, when asked, why did it cost $43 million? It was projected to cost $3 million, which was too much. They had built a similar gas station in Pakistan last year for $500,000. That's what this one should have cost. But they allotted $3 million for the job. And the Department of Defense was asked, how can you spend $43 million? You did one for $500,000 last year, just like the one you're doing now. And it was supposed to be done for $3,000. You got a $43 million. You got a $40 million override. Well, you know what the Department of Defense says? We have no explanation. And the reason is there was a task force in charge of spending on the gas station. That task force, because the gas station got built, was dissolved in March. So we have no one to go to. That doesn't make sense to me either. Now, this is another thing that's funny. The contract between the contractor called Central Engineering and the government provided for a compressed natural gas automobile filling station because they have a lot of natural gas over there in Afghanistan. The only problem is there's no one that can use that gas station. The cars that the Afghans drive are petroleum operated. They can't use natural gas. They can have the mechanics of the car worked over and changed so it can go. They can go to compressed natural gas, but the cost of doing that to their automobile is more than 1 year's earnings for the average Afghanistan. So that's never going to happen. They built the gas station where nobody's got a car that can be filled with compressed gas. Amazing, absolutely amazing. Now, why $40,000 on top of the $3 million? By the way, the $40 million is described as overhead cost. You got it? Overhead cost. Not for the details, the machinery, the wood, et cetera, that went into the thing and the labor. It's for overhead costs, okay? And nobody knows why. People do know why, but nobody's telling us why. And somebody should look into this stuff. This is disgraceful, absolutely disgraceful. And they want to cut Social Security, where they've already stolen our money. They want to cut Medicare. They want to cut everything because it's the entitlements that are bringing our government down economically. It's not the entitlements. It's the money that they don't pay any attention to, $43 million for a gas station that no one can use. Perfect example of what is going on. Now, where are we going to go next? I got so many things tonight, you have no idea. I'm not going to get through them all, I can tell. There are three things I don't understand. Three things I do not understand. These are just things I want to hit you with, boom, boom, boom. Why? The Catholic Church. I'm going to talk about the Catholic Church. They have priests. Priests have been pedophiles. We've known about this for about 40 years now. The churches, I read recently this week, the church has already paid out $4 billion in settlements, okay? There is an obligation upon the local bishop to report all cases of pedophile that come to his attention involving priests. I do not believe they're doing such. You know what they are doing instead? Listen to Lewis. Here's what they're doing. When they have a priest who's been involved with pedophilia, who's been involved with little boys sexually molesting them, okay, they take the priest and they relocate him to parishes in Central America and Africa. To parishes in Central America and Africa, where they're still alive and kicking to do their dirty deeds there. I don't understand why the church does that, okay? Acknowledge they're wrong. All right, get them in jail, pay up, get out. Church has a lot of money. Don't tell me they don't. They do. Sell the paintings in the Vatican, but do something. But don't send the priests to parishes in foreign countries. The other thing that bothers me, and I don't understand, is sex crimes by police officers. The numbers are increasing. The numbers are unprecedented. Sex crimes by police officers. More and more police officers are being kicked off the police forces because they are involved in sex crimes while on duty. The Huffington Post, 2 days ago, okay, reported the story of a woman in Oklahoma City, 51 years old. She had been playing dominoes at her girlfriend's house. She had not been drinking. She was pulled over by this police officer for erratic driving. She said, I was playing dominoes. I didn't drink. I wasn't driving erratically. I'm only going home. And he says, no, get out of the car. He says, I think you're hiding something under your clothes. So he had her remove her blouse and her bra. Nothing. He says, well, I know you've got something. It's got to be in your other clothes. Take off your pants and your underwear. She hesitated. He says, take them off. She took them off. Now the woman's completely nude. He has her sit on the hood of the car, open her legs wide, takes his flashlight, and takes a look at her vaginal area. Now he says, he finds she's not hiding anything. He says, okay, here's what's going to happen. You're going to orally copulate me. You're going to give me a blowjob. She says, no, sir, absolutely no way. He puts his hand on his gun. She's heard enough wild stories in the past few years about police officers. She orally copulated him. But he made a mistake. This woman is intelligent. She's mature. She immediately went to the police department and reported it. She was immediately taken to a hospital. Swabs were taken of her mouth, of the semen, to compare it to the DNA of the police officer. And that police officer, he's off the force now, okay? In the last 6 years, 1,000 police officers have lost their jobs for sex crimes while on the job. There is more, it is claimed, than 1,000, much more, but they're not reported. Many communities do not publicize. There's no legal requirement to report anything to some central bureau because they don't want the community to know these things are going on. The third thing I cannot understand, the United Nations, the Secretariat. The Secretariat's office in the United Nations runs the United Nations, okay? In 1 year, between 2014 and June of this year, 1 year, here's what they came up with. There were employees sharing pornography on official computers, okay? One official of the Secretariat used a UN car to transport 380 pounds of marijuana, okay? And three of the Secretariat staff members, okay, had sexual intercourse with minors. I don't understand. This is the biggest of the big in a world organization, and they do these things. Local police officers sworn to protect us do these things to our women. And then the Catholic Church, they have not learned their lesson. I don't understand it. Which now we go to, well, how's this? This is going to surprise you too. It surprised me. The middle class, as it collapses, our middle class collapses, no one's buying anymore. Your middle class has gone decreased. They don't have enough spending money. So they don't shop as much as they did where they did shop. I'm talking about to the cheap stores like Walmart, Hershey, Campbell Soups. These companies are suffering big time, you know? And what's happening is they're now telling their shareholders that we have flat growth and it's going to stay that way. It's a fact of life. because people no longer have enough money to shop at our stores where we deal in cheap goods. We're not talking about luxury automobiles or anything. This is called, everything's got a term, consumer bifurcation. Consumer bifurcation, which means everyone's broke out there who normally shops with us, except the 1%. They've got a lot of money, but they don't shop with us. They shop at high-end stores. The middle class in this country has fallen from 55% to 43% since the 1970s. If you watch the money and follow the inflation, the middle class has not gotten a raise since 1999. All right? Salaries are less than they were pre-recession in 2007. Economists are saying now middle-class brands, Walmart and so forth, will shortly start manufacturing luxury goods. If they can't make money with the 99%, they're going to aim at the 1%. And they're going to turn out the super-duper expensive TV sets and everything else. And this is really... God is good, and there's justification. They're going to start taking business away from those people who normally manufacture and produce for the 1%. What goes around comes around. I want to talk to you about a congressman. His name is Richard Nugent, Republican. Representative Richard Nugent, he's a congressman from the Florida Panhandle. He was a member of the Tea Party. He is a member of the Tea Party. He came in with the 27 Tea Party members in 2010. He announced this week he's retiring now. He's leaving Congress. He's only been there 5 years. He's got another year on his third term. He says, this job takes too much time away from my wife and my grandchildren. Now, I find that hard to buy. Takes too much time away from my wife and grandchildren. I've already told you, they only work 1 week and have 2 weeks off in Congress, okay? They have a 7-week vacation coming up next year, all right? I don't understand this. He works a third of the year, and yet he doesn't have enough time to spend with his wife and grandchildren. Where the hell is he on those 2 weeks off? Has he got a girlfriend he's running around with? I don't know. What's he doing? He should be home with his wife and grandchildren. This whole thing doesn't make sense. I'm not accusing him of philandering, by the way. But the thing doesn't make sense, and it opens the door to thoughts and suggestions like that. I don't know what the reason is. It makes me wonder, however. Okay, with the time we have left, I want to talk about the church and politics. And when I talk about the church, I'm not talking just about the Catholic Church. I'm talking about all Protestant denominations. I'm talking about the Jewish religion and any other religion that may be out there, okay? I'm against the church and politics joining together. The clergy have one responsibility: take care of my soul. Take care of my soul and my relationship with God. Anything you want to do for me, you do from the pulpit in church. You don't do it in the halls of government. You do not belong in the halls of government. We have a problem in this country. We know we have a far religious right. We see these guys on TV. They're saying this is wrong, that's wrong, and they're funding all these lawsuits like that county clerk that don't want to issue licenses to gay couples. And we also have the Catholics that have become powerful in the last 5 years. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, they've joined with the religious right, and these two groups are running around doing all these crazy things. And the Catholic Church should remain in church and speak from the pulpit. Anyhow, and they're the same group, by the way, these bishops that are opposing Pope Francis from doing anything to change the Catholic Church at the present time. History repeats itself. The Puritans, the Pilgrims, they came here to avoid religious persecution in Europe. Now we have it again. What do we do? We're heading for religious persecution. They want to get a hold of the government. All I can tell them, maybe it's their time in the sun. Maybe it's their 15 minutes, which is not 15 years. I don't know. Maybe it's self-importance. I don't know, but I know we don't need it, and in the end, it will hurt our country. That's the show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope I shared something with you, something new. Join me again next week. The show can be found linked to my Key West Lou website as of Friday morning. And it's also archived immediately on Block Talk Radio and YouTube. So I know most of you miss it here, but catch it on, in the archive portion. Thank you again for joining me. I look forward to speaking with you again next week.